I'm Teen Zekas.
And hey, I'm Ilika Follette. We are business owners and moms with corporate backgrounds, and we are all about getting Black women paid in both corporate and business.
And you're listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast.
Let's go.
Hello, welcome back to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast. We are your co-hosts. I'm Teen Zekas.
And I'm Ilika Follette.
Welcome, welcome. We were so excited in our conversation about salary negotiation and raises that we decided to pull it out into a part two. So welcome to, guess what? You can negotiate your salary and raises, part two. Let's talk about raises.
Awesome. Yes. And you know what? Just getting into the conversation, right? I want to provide a story. You know, now you've been working at a company for 5 years, and every year they give you your annual, you know, what is it? Cost of living salary, your cost of living raise, right? 2%, 2%, 2%. Well, now you're at a space where they're looking to give you, I mean, you've stepped into a promotion, you know, into maybe it's a director role or a senior director role or whatever that looks like. And so in this new role, they're saying, hey, because you've done such a great job, we want to offer you a 7% raise to become the senior director of, you know, manufacturing or whatever. How's that sound for you? You'll be right at $182,000 now. That's really good, right?
I smiled so hard when you said that, because when you said 7%, I was like, ooh.
That's the number, right? That's the number all the time.
This is the time where before this conversation, you are already looking up the market research. This is the time to correct if you've been underpaid, right? So if they're going to base it again on a percentage of what you're making, it's going to be under what it should be. So regardless of where you've been at your previous level or your previous role, look into what's the market for this. What's my level experience? I'm also coming in with 5 years of institutional knowledge at this company.
Exactly.
So tack on another few thousand, right? Like look into, you know, what are the pieces? What's the experience I'm bringing? What's the market value? And then come with those numbers. And say, hey, you know, I'm so excited to step into this new role. I'm pumped about the new responsibilities. And I've been looking into what, you know, what the rate is for folks in this role. And I'm seeing 190 or I'm seeing 200.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we get closer to that?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Then wait, you don't have to fill the silence, right? The person you're talking to may not be the person who decides what the number is. In fact, often they're not. Often they are delivering the great news
that right.
7% or what have you, and they have no control over what the number is. So their silence is, oh my gosh, I don't even know what to do with this. You don't have to fill that and then backtrack. Yeah. You can wait until they figure out who they need to talk to bring your request, right? And so it's, you know, wow, this sounds great. Again, I'm so excited about the role. I'm excited about these new challenges and tackling these new projects.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some research and it looks like folks at this title are making more like X. How can we get closer to that? And wait, you do not need to say more words after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that person will say, oh, geez, you know, I've been authorized, whatever. Oh, well, who can we talk to? Who can we talk to about, you know, about making this right? And it's, you know, inviting, again, we're opening those windows. We're inviting that conversation. And even if you're not talking to the decision maker, you can say, hopefully that person is an advocate for you. So you can give them the, hey, you know, usually that person is the one who knows you deserve this promotion and the invaluable work you've been doing. And so you can say, hey, you know, I'm hoping when you go back to so-and-so to talk about it, you can advocate for me because you know that I'm going to bring this, this, and this to the role. and remind them of those things so that when they're going back to that conversation, they're like, oh, actually, she asked for this much. They're not like, I don't know. They're saying, hey, and she deserves it.
Yeah.
So let's figure out how to do it.
Exactly. And so what Teen is giving you all right here are like keen negotiation strategies. Like we're talking about doing it in the office, but you can do this in other spaces too. But I mean, this is like, think about it. It is literally doing that research, letting folks know that I've done the research and I see what this looks like in the market. So how can we get there together?
Right. I'm not going to base my excitement level on you saying, isn't 7% great?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I've done my research and I know what's great. Exactly. And I'm coming with
it. Mm-hmm. It's having a team, having a champion, right? Connecting with a champion and getting someone who can advocate for you. That's one of the things that I did when I was negotiating my increase. It wasn't a promotion. It was just a raise. And I had a champion. I knew someone who could be in the boss's ear and really talk to them about it, right? So it's having that champion. That is huge. And then that silence, understanding that there's no need to overtalk the situation, right? Because that silence, many times, and this is something that we're taught in negotiations all the time, whether it be in sales negotiations or in like real estate, if you're a real estate agent, and many aren't taught this when it comes to the office, right? But that silence, it's almost like the one who breaks the silence first loses, you know? So it's like being okay with not speaking and saying, I've said the piece that I'm going to say, and now I'm going to wait for your reply.
Yes. Sitting in that silence is such a power move. One, and even when you mentioned sales, I'm thinking about our entrepreneurs who are listening, right? When you set your price and someone says, well, how much is your service? And you say, it's $2,000, and then it's quiet. And then you say, oh, but there's payment plans and oh, but you get this bonus and oh, but whatever, you're devaluing
everything,
your services. You want to say, this is the price.
Exactly.
Wait.
The other thing you're doing, you're devaluing the services and you're stepping into scarcity immediately. And they can hear the scarcity in your voice, in your energy. They can feel it, right?
Yep.
You've stepped into, well, it's $2,000. And then it's like the eyes like, oh shoot. But I can do like $500 a month payments for 4 months and I can do this and I can do that. And it's like, now you're like, you're in their pockets. It's like, get out of their pockets. They get to figure out how they can do it. You have something that they want, right? And it's the same thing in the office. You have something that they want and need, and they know they want and need it.
Right.
So they get to figure out how that happens.
And implied in that, I've done my research and I've found out what people are getting paid for this. Implied in that is, and I can go get it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that silence does is, you know what? I looked it up and people doing this work are getting 200. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wait in silence while you figure out what you're going to do about that. Right? Even if you are not feeling the confidence behind that, practice sitting in the silence and just tell yourself, I will not speak first after I say this number.
Mm-hmm.
And just wait.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say just, because it might be very hard, but wait anyway.
Right. They'll come back. They'll say something at some point. Yeah.
Right. It's not going to be the rest of the meeting is silence.
30 minutes of silence staring at each other.
Right. Well, and even, you know, one of the reasons we chose this topic and even framed it as this, you know, guess what? You can negotiate is because a lot of us don't realize that we can create these opportunities to negotiate, right? We're told this is what the increase is going to be. Isn't that so exciting? Mm-hmm. And so we need to step into that belief that everything is negotiable and that even maybe this is a time where they can start getting creative. Okay. We really can't go above this because our tiers are this, or we've got some, if they're going to come and talk about equity, and hopefully they have some pay transparency, great. But then it's okay. Well, then, you know, now that I'll be stepping into this role, I'm going to need some more vacation time, or I'm going to need, you know, I'm going to need to be home twice a week or whatever. You can still bring in those other things that are not necessarily the dollar amount. But I do want to talk quickly. I think we alluded to this at the beginning of the last episode, but I've even negotiated a severance.
Oh, wait, before we go to the negotiation of the severance, I did want to ask one thing.
Yes.
Have you negotiated, or can you give tips on negotiating like the yearly cost of business increase? Is that something that you've seen negotiated?
So that one is difficult because often they're doing it for the whole company all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are a lot more comfortable saying, well, this is what everybody's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the financial decision that was made. And this is what we can afford, right? So it's a bit more challenging. You can certainly push back, and you can, especially if you have receipts about what someone else is getting paid, or you have that market research, and you can talk about, you know, I really want this company to be competitive. I want us to be retaining the top talent, right? And again, now it's back to we. Now we're a team again. I want our company to be paying competitively so that we're bringing in the best people, you know, and framing it that way can help. But I've definitely found, especially in some larger companies, they're really comfortable being like, there's no wiggle room. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I usually like to talk about, well, when can we revisit this? Because obviously at annual review time is when you guys are real rigid, but maybe we can talk in 90 days or in 6 months about some adjustments, because I don't think what I'm at is quite right.
Yeah.
Kind of where I've seen some success in that. And again, not to say that it's not possible. I just find that especially in larger companies with more bureaucracy, it's a challenging time to push back, because they're usually making these sweeping financial decisions about everybody's raise, right?
One good thing, one of the things that you said that really stands out too in that piece is you said, you know, let's revisit it. When can we revisit it? 6 months, 3 months, you know, 6 months, whatever the number is. Because now that your manager or the person you report to, whoever's making these salary decisions, knows that you know that you should be making more, knows that you're ready to be making more, they're going to start having the conversations with HR.
So now you all can start getting ready to discuss how more you're going to pay me.
Exactly.
Clearly I caught you off guard here. So let's.
Exactly.
Next one. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So that gets to happen.
And one thing I forgot to mention, even in our previous one, was to get all this stuff in writing, especially if you're at the offer stage where you're getting a written offer.
Yeah.
We can say, hey, now that we've talked through all of this, I'd love to get it in writing, especially if it's, you know, this isn't quite the title I wanted. Can we revisit it in 90 days? Or can we, you know, can we expedite our conversations about a raise? I want to have it in 6 months instead of a year. Get that in writing.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for them to suddenly forget. They said they would do some stuff.
Exactly. Even if it's email, like get it written down, because then it's like, nope, this is what happened. Here's what happened when, and here's why. So sometimes you may have the conversation orally, like in person or whatever, and then go back and write an email saying, hey, I'm so glad we had that conversation today. Really looking forward to us discussing, you know, changes in pay or whatever, in salary, whatever you want, compensation, in 90 days or whatever, you know, having those, like noting that, right. It's protecting you.
And I do want to briefly tell the story about negotiating severance. So
yes,
there was a time where I was laid off, and it wasn't one of those like mass layoffs. Again, it's harder to negotiate in a situation where they're making a big financial decision about lots of people.
Yeah.
But, this was kind of a one-off. I was getting laid off for a variety of reasons, and they were offering me 2 months of pay. And again, talking about how great that is, because they're saying like the standard is 1 week per year of service, which I'm like, first of all, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous standard. Let's exceed that. Right. I'd been there for 2 years. So yeah, it was going to be 2 weeks. I'm like, and so they were trying to be like, so 2 months is amazing.
Yeah.
So I came in with the research. I said, well, you know, in this field right now, it's looking like it's taking people an average of 4 months to find a new role. So I would like 4 months severance. And I came with, here's what I've contributed to the company, especially the diversity stuff. I really, if I'm going to be your one Black woman software engineer, and you're going to lay me off. We're going to talk about the time that you had me apply to speak at a conference because they needed 50% of those applicants to be women of color.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was going out and representing the company and how I'm overrepresented on the website, right? Like, I'm
at down now.
Four or five different pages, like, hey, you know.
Right. Let me take it down because I'm here, not working no more.
So I came and brought that stuff. I said, you know, mm-hmm. these are the things I've contributed publicly to the company. These are the ways that I have represented the company. And these are the ways that I've been, you know, treated a little shadily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't threaten any kind of legal anything, right. But those implications are there, you know? And so I asked for the 4 months and I ended up getting 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that came along with COBRA. So like the coverage for the for my insurance for those 3 months. Yeah. And I got my last day to be on the first of the following month. So that gave me an additional month of insurance, right? Yeah. Because it to the end of the month. So I ended up with 4 mm-hmm. months of insurance. And because, you know, when you're getting laid off, you just feel like you have no leverage. Yeah. And I just want to. So the reason I want to tell that story is just to remind you all that you always have leverage.
Always.
Mm-hmm. You are an integral part of, you know, the work that they've done in this company. You've contributed and mm-hmm. you deserve compensation. And so even when you feel like they have all the power, you can't get what you don't ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Keep asking and ask for more than you want. So they'll back, you know, right. Cause I knew I wanted 3. So I'm like, well, I'm asked for 4 to get 3. Right.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And the other thing is, it's like, to your point, it's like, we can't be afraid to ask, you know, because that's what comes up. You feel like, oh, if I do this, they're going to badmouth me. You know, I remember when I gotten laid off, right before I started my company, funny enough, I was laid off and they offered me 2 weeks. And the same thing, I'd been there a year, they offered me 2 weeks. And I was like, this is crazy. Like this, like, what am I going to do with 2 weeks of pay? You know, like it's pointless, you know? And I didn't have your level of negotiation. I think I only ended up with like 6 weeks, right? 5 or 6 weeks, but still it was so just
crippled it.
Yeah. Right. So
that is context,
right? Right.
No big deal.
But it was just like, you know, I felt so shocked and hurt, I remember. So it's like I was in my feelings on that. Yep. And then on top of that, I had this, I felt like, well, what if I, because, you know, I was negotiating back and forth. They didn't want it. They wouldn't push past the 6 weeks. And I had an attorney friend who was like, we can go in and we will get you at least 6 months. And I was afraid. I said no. The fear was that if I jump in and with an attorney and they give me the 6 months, then now I'm going to be bad mouthed in the market and they're going to talk to other companies about me and now I can't get another job. Mm-hmm. Do you all know that I have not had another job since then? I started my own companies, 3 months later?
Right, they
would that was 8 years ago, right? So it's like, we can't allow situations and people and their presumed threats or presumed power, because I let them stand in that power, to guide or shift our decision, right?
Yeah.
I should have gone for it and gotten my 6 months, right. And I would have been fine.
And don't tell yourself no on their behalf. Make them tell you no.
Exactly. Yep. You know, we can go and do what we need to do, right? And also on top of that, if there is a situation where they decided, like in my particular situation, if they had decided to badmouth me because I had an attorney, I could sue them again because that, you know, right. It's something that I wasn't thinking about because
right. Companies cannot be bad mouthing the Black lady who brought in an attorney.
Right.
That's not a good look. So, and if you're in the layoff process, it's like, what are you going to do? Fire me? Like,
right.
We just need to remember that we have more leverage than we think.
Mm-hmm.
They have less power than we fear.
Yes. Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could end it there.
I feel like that was it. Yes, that's it. that was very powerful. Say it again. I want to say it again. That needed to be like shouted to the folks in the back who didn't catch it all the way.
You have more leverage than you think, and they have less power than you fear.
Ooh. So there we go. right? So that was part two of, guess what? You can negotiate your salary and raises and also severances, right? So we are so happy to have you here. Please be sure to subscribe. Stick with us here at Getting Black Women Paid, because we're talking about how to get you paid and how to get you thriving and flourishing. I think that's the word I was looking for. Yeah. So we'll see you all on the next episode. Take care.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this one, subscribe wherever you're listening now.
And if you love what you heard, be sure to leave us a review. And make sure you share the podcast with incredible Black women in your life so we can continue getting Black women paid.
All right. We'll see you in the next one.